So there I was with some Bible college lecturers and their students who were ranging in age from mid-20s up to probably mid-50s, quite a range of people. And we were on the Mediterranean shore. And I've been teaching them about the kingdom and about principles of blessing as part of the gospel of the way that we are and how we conduct mission. How do we conduct mission in a foreign land where we're separated by language and culture? And we're about to send them off the following day in groups of four with nothing, just abandoned on Jesus. And they were going to go in, one wave was going in southern Europe and the other in a closed, hostile Muslim nation on the other side of the Med. And how do we do this? And talking about how we can do it. And I said, we're going to go and do it. So it was a hot day and we went out in the middle of the day to the market, which was thriving, very hot. And I showed them what to do. What do you do? How do you bring the mission? How do you interact with the Holy Spirit when you don't know the culture, you don't even speak the language? How can you be presence for the Lord? Well, it's easy, really, if you've got 2 feet and can walk. Because all you do is you walk. And you bless the people in the name of Jesus. And they can't understand your language, so you can be... Especially if you're in twos, which you told them to do, it looks as though you're holding conversation. And you're going along and somebody's walking towards you. Lord God, would you reveal the glory of Jesus to that man and his family? Would you cause him or somebody in his family to rise up with apostolic authority to carry the good news into their community, that Jesus may be revealed? You walk and you walk by a doorway to a home. Lord God, would you please bless that home, that the door may be open to the gospel of peace. As we walk the paths, Lord, we just bless the land we walk on. We claim it for you, that beautiful feet that carry the gospel of peace in Jesus may walk these paths. The stall holders, Lord, we bless these guys, many of them working in markets to support a family in another nation. So they're separated by their family, but here they can make some money and 90% of it they'll send back. Lord, we bless these people. We bless these people in Jesus' name, that they may prosper, that their families may prosper, and that part of their prosperity mean coming to a knowledge of Jesus. And I'm waiting for the question, and I know what the question is, because it always comes, always in any context, whether it's abroad or it's in the UK, the same question always comes. And it either comes as a question or a very strong objection. Now, what it centers on this is this: it's okay us blessing one another because we're the children of God. But I mean, these people out here, you know, who may be Muslims, if you're abroad, or if they're in the UK, but they're not even Christians. I bless them. How can we bless them? How can we bless them in the name of the Lord? They don't even know him. And I mean, they're lost in their trespasses and sins. How can we bless them? And I know that that question is going to arise, because it always does, always. And I know that nobody in this room had thought along those lines at all, so you're uniquely different, and I bless you in your differentness, okay? And sure enough, one of the younger students, mid-20s, said, excuse me, a bit of a problem here. How do we bless Muslims? I mean, surely we don't want to do that. Now, which is an interesting thought. And then in the UK, it comes rather differently. And so the number of times I've heard somebody say, I don't want to bless non-Christians. I want their lives to get worse and worse. Yeah? So they're really squeezed. And then perhaps in the moment of desperation, they might call out to the Lord for help. Well, that's quite easy to deal with because I say, well, that's really interesting. So could you just explain to me the difference between doing that and cursing? Where does the difference lie then? And hang on, let's just remember when God sent his son to die for us. When did he send his son to die for us? When we're utterly lost. And the amazing thing is, Paul writes, it was the right time. And the right time for Jesus to come for us when we're lost and without hope. How can we bless Muslims? And how do we bless businesses? I mean, maybe the businesses are unrighteous. Really good point. So when we bless, particularly when we bless businesses, we say whatever is wholesome. Now, we cannot say whatever is founded on right principles, because if you do not know Jesus, how can you be founded on right principles? That's just nonsense. But we're not blessing unrighteousness. But what we're saying is, these people are where they are. They need to live in a hungry world. We bless them. We bless them in the name of Jesus. In terms of business, whatever is morally clean, we bless. And who knows, as the blessing of God then rests on it, that this may then help them to come to knowledge of truth. And in terms of business, maybe go back to the foundations of their businesses and reshape them. That can happen, can't it? But we're meeting people where they are. How did Jesus meet people? Just where they are. That's how he met them. How did he treat them? With incredible grace. Amazing forgiveness. Did he beat them over the head with a scroll and say, thus says the... Come. Yes, I will. I forgive you. Wow. Don't do it again. Might be worse if you do it again. But here you are. I lay out for you an opportunity of a new start. I forgive you. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. So to bless, how do we deal with this question that sort of seems to underlie so much of our thinking? Is it really okay to bless people who don't really know Jesus? Is it okay to bless Muslims in the name of Jesus? I feel the story coming on, but I want to read this to you first, okay? Matthew 5:45. Well, actually, we'll go from verse 43, because Jesus is talking about a change of world view. Matthew 5:43. So Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Okay, so he's turning it upside down. Change your thinking, change your understanding, change your actions. You've got it upside down. So that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Oh my goodness, that means that's what God is like. He looks with favor on mercy and mercy on those who are full of hate, who are set against his purpose. What is his heart towards them? He loves them. For he, God, makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. See, he pours out blessing and favor and mercy on all flesh. And sometimes we have this little ghetto mentality that says when we meet together in our house group, our class meeting, our band, our Sunday fellowship, whatever it is, this is the place. Augustine caused a lot of damage to the church, bless him, when he taught, you know, remember the parable of the field and so, the field is the church, he wrote. The field is uniquely the place where God is at work. And the only way that you can know God's favor and purpose is to be within the field. The whole sphere of God's activity in the world is within the church. No, it isn't. That's nonsense. You have to ignore so much of the scriptures if you think that. So much of the teaching of Jesus. Because the church is not the kingdom of God. The church is a sign of the kingdom of God. It is the agent of the kingdom. It points to the kingdom. It begins to give physical expression. But God is not confined to this little church. God is at work amongst all people. However would we be able to go out and reach somebody who was lost if he wasn't working out with them? The great place of God's activity is outside the church. And if the church could only knock its walls down, you understand, I don't mean physically, well, not necessarily, but and go out there, it would get into the field where God is at work, because very often he appears to be much more openly at work amongst the unbelievers than he is with the believers. I told you, I've got to tell you very quickly this story, and then we're going to start to do some stuff together. Okay, Muslim nation, single lady missionary in a Muslim nation. Few difficulties for her. Very gentle lifestyle. She gets up in the morning, goes out to her courtyard, and in the early morning sunshine has her breakfast. And she has time of prayer and worship and resting in the Word of God and just fellowshipping with Him. And then when she's ready, she gets her bag and she goes outside, and the city streets, capital city, full of taxis. Just about every vehicle is a taxi. So she just flags taxi down. Single woman gets in the back. She knows the city very well, but she just chooses at random a destination about 10 minutes away because she knows there'll be a tea shop there, a coffee shop. So she sits in the back, and she says a few words to the taxi driver in the front, and then she says, "Tell me, I'm very interested. Has anybody ever appeared to you in a dream?" And 6 out of 10 say yes. I says, "Oh, that's really interesting. And tell me, do you know who it was who appeared to you in a dream?" And 8 out of 10 of those all say, "Yes, it was Yeshua. It was Jesus." And so she said, "Oh, that's absolutely fantastic. Do you know the significance of your dream?" "No." And she starts to say, "You know, did you know that this dream is the event in your life that can change the whole of your life forever, change your family's life forever, your existing family, your future generations, can change your community? Did you know this is the most amazing thing and the most amazing opportunity that's ever happened in your life?" "No." "Ah, well, I haven't got time because I've got to get out in a moment, but would you like just a bit of information?" "Yes." So in her bag in Arabic, she has a prepared package and she gives it. And no, it's not a tract. But it's just a little bit of information about Yeshua, about Jesus, references from the Quran. Listen to Jesus. Jesus is to be listened to, the Quran says. Building on the background of the culture and where the guy is. "Did you know this about Jesus? Would you like to know more about him? Did you know that everything pivots on a revelation that has come to you? Because only God can send his Spirit and reveal his Son to you." Sorry, it doesn't say those words, but reveal Jesus to you. "Would you like to know more? You can ring this number and hear a recorded message that will send you on a journey of a lifetime." Well, if they ring that number, they'll hear in Arabic. They'll be forwarded to another number where they can hear more. From there, they're forwarded to a secure website in Arabic outside the country so it can't be interfered with. And so it'll take them on a journey and it'll bring them back to the indigenous church, the underground church in the nation, where they can be checked out and then connected. Okay, well, but she gets out of the taxi and she goes and lazes in the sun and enjoys mint tea. And then when she's ready, she looks for a taxi to take her back. Sits in the back. Tell me, have you ever had somebody come to you in a dream? Now that's all she does. That's her life. And her aim is to take 10 Muslim men a week with whom, okay, because she does it morning and afternoon, 5 times a week. But her aim is 10 Muslim men a week she will set on a journey of discovery. But on this basis, that the Holy Spirit is already active. They have only had a dream, and Jesus has come to them in a dream because God is at work. He's drawing them. So it's finding these 10, that's all she does. Very nice lifestyle. A great deal of prayer and worship and fellowship with the Lord. Don't you think that's fantastic life? Fantastic ministry? I know other people who are working very, very hard in Muslim nations. I don't know anyone. I don't know of anyone who is starting 10 people a week, on a, particularly Muslim men, on a journey of discovery about Jesus. But it's partnership. See? So, it's a long way around, but I had to share that story with you. It's good news, isn't it? And of course, many of you will be praying for Muslims that have dreams and visions of Jesus, yeah? Some of you? How many of you? Yeah? That's great. So how many of you are praying every day then that the Holy Spirit will come and reveal Jesus in dreams to your next door neighbors? Oh, see the gap? Because we think the mission field is out there. Don't stop praying for Jesus to be revealed to Muslims, but please, why not be praying that Jesus will come in dreams and visions to your next door neighbors? I could tell you more stories about what he's doing with dreams and visions. I'm going to stop, okay? I don't want to, but I'm going to. Right, okay. So here, this is the nature of God. He is no discriminator of persons. He sends blessings on the just and the unjust alike. He allows the warmth of the sun to rise upon the land and to nurture the crops for the just and the unjust. He allows refreshing rain to come upon the just and the unjust. He is no discriminator because he desperately loves these people who don't know him yet. For goodness sake, he sent Jesus for them, though they don't know him yet. How dare we be saying, I don't know whether I want to bless them or not. The question then becomes, are we children of our Heavenly Father or not? We will reveal the fact that we're children of our Heavenly Father, not by speaking his name, but by living his life and obeying his commands. Learning to have his heart, his attitude, his compassion, his love on those who don't know him yet. So yes, we speak blessings, not curses. We speak blessings. And so why not have people say, my goodness, I just don't know why all these blessings are falling on my life. I mean, look what's happening. Look how my life has changed. Ah, oh. And why not say, God, you must be real, that there should be much blessings. Oh, if you're like this, I want to know you. Okay. Now, simplicity of blessing. Faldebrennen, as many of you will know, we just have a principle that where possible, now because of the numbers, but where possible, when we have unexpected visitors, we just want to speak blessing over them before they leave. And those, you know, majority of them perhaps don't know Jesus yet, so we have to be careful what we say. So we just have a standard thing. Would it be all right to just bless you before you go? Everyone, bar one person ever, says yes. And all we do is say, well, I just bless you in the name of Jesus, that you may come to a knowledge of all the revelation and truth that God wants you to have. Amen. That's it. And the Holy Spirit comes. And their legs buckle. We've had men on the floor crying out to God for forgiveness and mercy. We have people just broken. people crying out, "Oh God, I didn't know you were real, forgive me." It's not rocket science. This is a ministry that is given to a kingdom of priests. So you don't have to come to Felder Brennan to join in. That would be terrible. If you see what I mean. I mean, very welcome. But the whole point is you do it where you are. It's so simple. So let's just practice it again. So Lou, would you like to come out here for a moment? And would you just come join me for a moment? You get to act God, okay? Oh, and your wife just said he does all the time. Okay, if you just stand back a couple of paces, okay? Okay. Sorry, your name is?
David.
Okay. David is just standing in God's place for the moment, okay? If you see what I mean. And this is what's going to happen. Here is Lou, and I want God's blessings to be multiplied on Lou. Okay? So I can say, "Oh Lord God." See, now what's happened? I've turned towards God. Typically I've closed my eyes. "Oh Lord God, would you please cause great blessings to come on Lou?" Now what am I doing? I'm praying. Now, I'm using the word blessing. I'm asking the blessings may come. Actually, I'm interceding for Lou. I'm petitioning God on her behalf. "Lord, please, would you release your blessings on Lou?" Now, that's a really good and important thing to do. Okay? But if I'm going to bless Lou, I'm not looking towards God, I'm looking eyeball to Lou. Because I am speaking to Lou. I'm not praying, I'm not interceding, I'm not petitioning God for her. But in the name of Jesus, I am going to minister blessing to Lou. So I don't close my eyes. And the temptation is when you begin to bless, either that you close your eyes or you lay hands on someone. We're not doing that. So, Lou, I just speak to you now in the name of above all names. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. That your heart might be stretched so that it can contain more of the love of God that he has for you. And I bless you that your mind may be stretched so that you may begin to find more faith and imagination rising, pictures, dreams that will enable you to move much more powerfully and effectively in your prayer life. And I bless you that the grace of the Lord Jesus may rest on you, that you may keep receiving things you don't deserve. I bless you in the name of Jesus, that you may be rooted in love, that the love of the Father may surround you, that you may find yourself, your feet permanently submerged in that stream of love that the Father has for you. I bless you to know that you are loved, that you are known, that in grace his love for you knows no bounds and is not improved by what you do for him. If you never do anything for him again, it won't lower the water flow. He just loves you forever and ever. I bless you to know his love. And I bless you in the name of Jesus that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit for you may deepen and deepen. That your walk with him may deepen. That you may be quicker to hear his voice, eager to receive his counsel. And that you may find him bringing deep things of the Father and revealing them into your heart. So I bless you that the grace of the Lord Jesus might be upon you, that the love of God may saturate you, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may deepen fear. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Just tell me very, very simply, did you sense anything?
Oh, just, yeah, overwhelming sense of being loved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Thank you. Okay, thank you. So you see the difference? Okay.
I know I'm only a stand-in for God. But as I stood here, I just felt, in a sense, I was acting the part of God, and my blessings were going to Lou as well. As from me, it's the name for God. Difficult to express it.
Okay, but the other thing that he doesn't know is that I was standing in between him and Lou. My back felt as though it was on fire. Just with the heat of God coming through me as I was blessing you. Jean, just you don't need to tell anybody your story. Just tell people earlier on when I just spoke across to you and blessed you, did you sense anything?
Oh yes, a real warmth, a real surrounding of God's love. And just the fact that the blessing hit the spot. Yeah.
Now that's what happens all the time, the blessing hit the spot. Brenda, when we just blessed you, did you sense that God was doing anything at all?
Oh yes, that he was meeting my need in so many ways. And my Heavenly Father knew that, and he knew I needed to come here, and he just gave me the opportunity with my Christian friends. They brought me here, and it's just from God's heart.
Yeah.
All these blessings are from God's heart.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Now you see what I mean? This is not words. This is not, oh, here's a fun thing to do. It's not a funny handshake, but now it's in a form of words, you know? We minister life. We minister life. And here's the principle. Remind you of the passages that we looked at. Aaron stands up. Here come the words to the people. Well, that's great. Moses, oh, no. Come with me. Into the presence, right? Now we come out of the presence, now bless, and the power of God, the glory of God falls. So this is the significant thing. Remember the role? We carry his presence. We stand and we minister to the Lord. And from out of that presence of the Lord, then we pronounce blessings. It's not just words. It doesn't say, then speak these words. It says, then you bless. So here's a framework, a simple framework of blessing. But it's not the only one. But there had to be a means of starting off the priestly function of speaking blessings in the way God wanted to bless the people. We minister it only when we come out of his presence. So we must be in his presence to be able to then come and minister. So this is what we're going to do. So would you like to very quickly stand up and get in threes? Oh, you're so quick. You're so eager. Oh. Okay. If anybody's left over, form a four and include them in. Okay. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to do what we have been doing. Now you can use the words that are on the banner over there, the Lord bless you and keep you and so on. You can use, because you probably remember it very easily, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now what you're going to do is to speak to each other, but before you're able to do that, we've got to pray. So you can follow me, okay, if you repeat these words. Lord Jesus, I am about to speak blessings over the people who are here with me. I'm going to do it in your name. Please be my helper. And Heavenly Father, will you then keep your promise and come and multiply blessings? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so we open our eyes and we look at one another. And I know you're all so eager to be the first, okay? So just launch off. So this is the place, because we're Christians, okay? So this is the place where mistakes are acceptable. Our mistakes have been dealt with on the cross. So we don't have to perform. We don't have to get it right. We don't have to show anybody at all how good we are. We're just learners together in the mercy of God. So what you're going to do then is you each get a turn and bless the person on your right, okay? And work your way round so that everybody does it and everybody gets blessed. So it's eyeball to eyeball. It's not hands on shoulders. We just stand in the name of Jesus, eyeball to eyeball, speak the words to them, okay? But this is how you start. I bless you in Jesus' name that. So if you want to use the form of words, it might be, I bless you in Jesus' name that the Lord may bless you and keep you and so on. Or I bless you in the name of Jesus that the grace of our Lord Jesus might be with you. So, stretch your imagination. Be bold. The person on your right needs to hear you speaking some of the words you're about to speak. Away you go there. It's so easy just to drift into conversation and to stop blessing. But we're blessing. Okay? So we're just going to have one more minute. So if you haven't blessed everybody in your circle, you better get going, okay? Did it hurt? See, it's pretty simple, isn't it? So why don't we do it all the time with one another then? And when the person who doesn't know Jesus yet is with us, why would we find it difficult to say, would you mind if I just blessed you? Because just about everybody will say, no, I don't mind. If you said to them, do you mind if I get my Bible and share some words with you? Okay. Or if you said, do you mind if I just pray for you? There's nothing to worry about. But if you say, may I just bless you, just about everybody will say, yeah, great. Keep it simple. Don't preach the gospel in the pretense of blessing them. I just bless you. I bless you. Oh, I bless you in the name of Jesus that you may know you're on the way to hell. And let God do the work. Okay? So, I bless you that the favor of God might come and that you may receive wisdom and insight and knowledge that God wants to give you. God knows the undertone of all that. He and you will know what you're talking about. The person you're blessing won't. They won't understand the significance. They'll hear the words and be blessed by the words. But what we're really saying is, God, come and do your stuff over this person's life. Just bless them. Sick child, I bless you in the name of Jesus, that you may be strengthened. Okay? Different angle on the healing ministry. Okay? Keep speaking blessings. So you hear of the neighbors from hell. And instead of going, ah, not again, you say, oh, bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Break in on their lives and bless them, Lord. Lord, we don't know what all the roots are for their situation, but you do, Lord. Ah, bless these people, Lord. They're poor because they don't know you. Bless them, Lord. Now, I'm stressing blessing because that's what I'm really spending this week. That's what I was asked to come and do and focus on for the weekend. But you understand that I'm emphasizing this only as one thing amongst our armory. I am not saying don't spend so much time in prayer and spend more time speaking blessings, okay? That's what I'm saying at all. I'm simply saying that actually those two things belong together. They belong together. We need to be interceding for people, crying out to God for our communities. But we also need to be people who speak blessings and whose attitude blesses, instead of condemning and judging our neighbours all the time. We need to bless them in the name of the Lord. So Daphne was just reminding me, but many of you will know about this, I think, of the man who turned up at our house at Faldobrennan telling filthy stories. And I'm about to tell him to be quiet. He's in my home. And God says, don't say a word to him. And his wife is getting more and more embarrassed, and these stories get stronger and stronger. And God says, don't say anything to him. And he's sitting in my kitchen, drinking my coffee. And I think, God, something's gone wrong with me, because I'm hearing you say it's okay. And this can't be you, surely. Just don't say a word. And so I said to them, as we always would you like a tour round? Hoping they would say, no, they've got to go. And the wife said, oh, I'd love to have a look around. And I was about to say to the husband, perhaps you'd like to wait in the car. But he said, oh, I don't want to do that, but I'm going to come as well. And how we walked around the centre on a lovely summer's day, with all the centre windows open, the guests in there. This man walking the length of the building outside, his voice echoing, telling incredibly filthy stories. And me saying, oh, God, shut the ears of the guests, you know. And we get to the chapel, and he's in full flow, and I open the door, he takes one step in and falls headlong on the floor, crying out to God for forgiveness and mercy. And interesting, you know, how can you forgive me when I'm so dirty? God knows what he's doing. Because if our heart, if our commitment was not to bless everybody who comes, I would have been order of the boot. Sorry, not having that in my house. We don't have that sort of language at Faldobrennan. This place is holy to the Lord. That's the point. It's not that we're somehow prudish or whatever. We want to live holy lives, and we want this land, this place, to be holy to the Lord. But God says, just bless them. Well, that means I've got to give them a tour and get them to the chapel where traditionally we bless people. Yes, just bless them. And I remember saying, Lord, you're going to have to help me, because I really don't want to bless this guy. I just want to get rid of him. Just bless him. So it can be costly to bless. And then it's in sometimes those most unlikely lives that God breaks in instantly. Now then, did you discover, any of you, that as you began to bless one another, you started to get any words or pictures for one another? Yeah? One or two are nodding their heads. Okay. Now, you were probably just concentrating what you were doing, because perhaps you'd not done this blessing before. But you know, one of the things that actually happens when you begin to do it is very often, it's a trigger for the word of knowledge, for the prophetic word, for pictures, for the people that you're blessing. It's as though you're opening the door to the wind of the Spirit, so that you begin to bless them not just with the words of the blessing, but something else is then going to go on, because ministry has started as you bless. Now, don't force that to happen. But the next stage in blessing, when you bless somebody, just be careful with the non-Christians. So I'm talking about Christians now. In particular, just when you bless one another, just say, Lord, as I do this, do you have a word? Is there something you want me to say? Do you want to show me something that will help bless this person? Keep your guard up. If it's actually a negative word you're getting, just be aware this is not flowing from the Lord. He gives us words to build one another up. The enemy seeks to give us words to tear one another down. So we want the word that builds up. Is that simple and straightforward? So we have this long line of people. Oh, actually, some hundreds of people queuing up for ministry at the close of a meeting. And a big, right away across this huge hall, a big crowd of people in twos who are ministering to them. A lady comes to me, and so this is an invitation for ministry for physical healing. And this lady comes up, and she says something or other. And I say, I just want to bless you to begin with, and I just blessed her in the name of Jesus. And then I just had a picture and just a word for her, which to me seemed very, very innocuous. You know, it didn't seem to me to be much more than God just says he loves you very much. Well, you don't actually need specific words from God to know that he loves this person very much. But it seemed as innocuous as that. And just a sense to just speak these words. I can't remember what they were. They were so innocuous. And this woman just looked at me, and her mouth fell open. She said, pardon? And I said, whatever it was, just, oh, forget the physical healing. This has changed my life. And she turned and she ran out. Never saw her again. I have no idea what it was. But something was ministered from God. So just the simplicity of saying, Lord, all the time, you know, if there is a word, you know, that is helpful, that builds up, well, just give it me. But I don't demand it. It's like saying, Lord, we want to listen to you as we look at your word. That doesn't force God and twist his arm. That means he's got, therefore, to speak to us that moment. He may not want to speak to us specifically at that moment through that particular passage. So we don't have to force ourselves to try and hear his voice and his word. He's pretty big, isn't he, God? He's a bit bigger than you and me, isn't he? His voice, I think, is a bit louder than ours, even with a good PA system, don't you reckon? So don't you think if he wants to make his voice heard, he's capable of doing so? So why do we get bothered? I think I miss the voice of God. Really? Have you heard God shout? My goodness. You think he can raise his voice a little? It isn't always simply a quiet whisper. This is a mighty God. So listen and ask. Okay, so next thing. It's fine ministering blessing to one another, but what about our community who are sort of out there? We're probably not going to go door to door saying, may I just bless you? But you might. But what you can do is you can set a regular pattern, and you can say at such a time, I'm going to, because patterns, rhythms help us to remember to do things, they build habit. We can say, I'm going to speak blessings over this local community, over the street around me, over the hamlet, over in the tower block where I live, whatever it might be. But this area here, I'm specifically going to speak blessings that the rule of King Jesus might break in. And that all the other principalities and powers, all the other agendas, social, political, and so on, might be torn down before the breaking in of the God of justice. That heaven might touch earth and something new happen in my community. How do I do it? Well, I just speak over it. So when Jesus spoke over Jerusalem and said, "Ah, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you all in my wings," do you think everybody from Jerusalem was standing in front of him? No, he's speaking over the city. So we can speak over our communities. I bless you, Street X. I bless you, neighbours. I bless you, Hamlet, whatever it is. I bless you in the name of Jesus, that the rule of Jesus and the revelation of his glory might break in amongst you. And we could begin to speak words of blessing out over the local community. Somebody came to see us last week and said, guess what, I'm from Nottingham. Okay, what am I supposed to guess? Funny thing, isn't it? Guess what, I'm from Nottingham. Well, never mind. And she said, so we've got a group of churches together, and now a whole group of villages and a whole area of the county, 5 days a week, Christians are meeting to proclaim blessings and speak blessings over the whole area of the county. And our aim is to saturate our area of the county with the ministry of the blessings of God, that a revelation of Jesus might come. I want to dance for joy. Fantastic. At Felderbrennen, we do it once a week. We do it on a Friday as part of our rhythm of prayer. We speak over the local community. And they had learned from that, and they'd taken it and adapted and using that. And they said, well, Felderbrennen, you only do it once a week. We do it 5 days a week. So I said, well, that's okay. I haven't got a badge to give you. And they said, well, what happened was that we intended to do it once a week, but when we started, it was so excited we couldn't stop. So we now, they said, do it 5 days a week. Daphne, in May, walked Offa's Dyke. So the whole of the border of Wales, in May, 14 houses of prayer were established on the English side of the border, 14 on the Welsh side. And produced a form of blessing. You know, there's hostility very much between England and Wales. You may not be so aware of that unless you live close to Wales. And so what happened was the people met, 14 either side of the border, and they spoke blessings across the border to their neighbours, blessed them and affirmed them in the name of Jesus. And affirmed that the Welsh didn't have to become like the English, and the English didn't have to become like the Welsh, but release them as neighbours to rise up in their own destiny, but affirmed and blessed both ways across the border. And Daphne walked and sewed them together, stitched them together, okay, from English to Welsh to English to Welsh, English to Welsh House of Prayer and so on, the length of the border. And it's a tremendous blessing. Now, this was supposed to go on, this pattern of blessing, for not much more than a fortnight. Well, what happened? They found they can't stop. And because we coupled an English one with a Welsh one on the other side, they've started visiting one another to stand on each other's land to bless both ways. Blessing being spoken. And they're ministering something. It's not a program. Oh, okay, now here are the steps. Right, let's go and do it in so-and-so. Right, we're doing it. That's not ministry. That's just program. Ministry is about life. And again, our blessing is life. It's life. So here I am, standing in a large room full of Christians in a land that is hostile, actively hostile to Christians. The authorities have switched the electricity off because they found out what time the meeting was started. But we got loads and loads of candles. So we're in a candlelit room. And there are secret policemen. It always makes me laugh. You know, because sometimes they introduce themselves. Hello, I'm a secret policeman. There are secret policemen standing at the door. Some of them have been coming in and yanking people out for interrogation, but were there in the meeting, and there's this tremendous hostility. Little did we know how much was going to break out over the coming a couple of weeks, and we're there in the middle of it, and people are being stirred up, and the authorities are involved in stirring up incredible hatred against Christians. So I say, this is what we're going to do, guys. We're going to stand, because there are windows all the way around this big hall, we're going to stand back to back looking outwards. And we're going to speak blessings over the secret police, over the Muslim authorities that are behind this, the community that is caught and being fed all these lies. Let's just speak the blessings of Jesus for a few minutes. So we stood there to do that for a few minutes. An hour and a half later, we were all hoarse, because the power of God came and shook that place as we pronounced blessings. Do you know what happened? In one place where some of these guys were thrown out because they're Christians, the Muslims took to the streets in protest to demand that the Christians were returned to them, because they said they are the only people who love us. And the government responded by sending in soldiers with guns to shoot at them. But the Muslims stood their ground. We want the Christians back. They're the only people who love us. But something was going on as we blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And commanded some structures to fall in the region, that the glory of Jesus may be known, and the gospel might have freedom. Wow, and a year later, a year and a half later, we see a changed region in many ways. It's incredible. Do you know, a year ago, some of us were meeting, trying to lay plans to establish a house of prayer in Libya, in Tripoli Airport. Because you couldn't go anywhere else, but you could meet in the airport. And you could staff it by having people flying in and out, 12-hour shifts. And now you're going to be able to go there and go anywhere in Libya you like. Can God change a nation? Yes, he can. Well, intercession and blessing. Lord, we cry out to you for the Muslim nations, but we speak blessing over the Muslim people in the name of Jesus, that the blessing of the knowledge of Jesus may fall upon them. Okay. So this is what we do. How are we doing for time? I've got to stop. I can't do any more. Hadn't realized how time had gone. Never mind. We'll see if we can pick up this and take it to the next stage, perhaps this evening. You'll find a lot more about this on the resource table over there, so do be free to have a look. But I bless you then in the name of Jesus, that when you go and have lunch, you may truly be fed. And I bless you to have joy this afternoon and to enjoy the break, and then we look forward to being together later. Is God good?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Amen.